Welcome to Praying the Psalms, a daily podcast from Doxa Church in Madison, Wisconsin. As the church finds itself isolated physically, we are reading, studying, and praying the Psalms to join ourselves together spiritually. We want to slow down, get a bigger picture of God and a clearer picture of ourselves, and most of all, we want to join ourselves together around the throne of Jesus, who has joined himself to us. Today we've reached Psalm 127. As always, you'll be best prepared to interact and engage with this podcast if you have already read through the psalm by yourself, but I'll go ahead and read it for us now. Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is in vain that you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil, for he gives sleep to his beloved. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the children of one's youth. Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them. He shall not be put to shame when he speaks with his enemies in the gate. If you were at Doxa this Sunday, this psalm comes at a perfect time. Last weekend marked the 2-year anniversary for Doxa, and on Sunday we were able to celebrate all that God has done for us over these past few years. The psalm was a major theme for that celebration, and we were blessed to be able to sing these truths back to God through the song by King's Kaleidoscope called All Glory Be to Christ. Interestingly enough, the lyrics of the hymn also incorporate themes from James 4, which we recently taught through, reminding us that our lives are but a mist, and any fruit produced from our earthly efforts are a direct effect of God's singular grace upon our lives. You may have noticed that the opening lyrics of the hymn and this psalm are also emblazoned on the front door of the Doxa building, defiantly proclaiming to a self-absorbed and self-sufficient world that any good that is accomplished in that building ought to be attributed to God alone. Truly, this is a foundational psalm for our church, one that we should all study and integrate into our thinking and walk. This psalm is a strong critique to we who dwell in a culture that prizes independence and autonomy. We're inculcated with the belief that each of us is an individual unit, valued primarily by our ability to produce something of economic value. Quite literally, everything in our lives is in opposition to the fundamental principle of this psalm. So take, for example, my own career in academia, which I've been thinking about in relation to this psalm. Academia is supposed to be collaborative and creative and in many ways shielded from the thrust for self-promotion. Yet, in academia, we don't have resumes. Instead, we have something called a curriculum vitae, or CV, which literally means course of life in Latin, which is also why I don't know how to pronounce it. This document is supposed to encompass one's professional contributions, but in actuality, it encompasses the entirety of one's life. After all, as I said, it's called Course of Life. The document literally lists everything of note that one has ever produced, from the smallest 5-minute presentation to the most significant peer-reviewed manuscript. And as for manuscripts, these are supposed to be open and collaborative, involving a bunch of people in different parts and ways. And yet there's meaning even in the order of which the authors appear on the cover page. The first author is supposedly the most important person who did all the work, and the last author is the person who paid for the work. All the so-called middle authors are of relatively little importance. While resumes typically are 1 to 2 pages, the best CVs can be over 20 pages long. This is in academia, which, you know, some say is not all about self-promotion and self-production. But truly none of us are safe from the pressure and coercion to think of oneself primarily in terms of what one can produce. Psalm 127 sings a different tune. Building a house these days seems like a simple task. It oftentimes only takes a few months, and yet we're taught here that we labor in vain if it isn't at its core generated by the Lord. Likewise, we can attempt to protect ourselves by setting out watchmen, or in our case, hoarding wealth in savings accounts or insurance policies. But these efforts, too, are in vain without God's protection. Truly, any and all of our efforts are wasted from the early morning to the late evening when we don't rely upon God. Perhaps most poignantly, Even our efforts in ministry are wasted without the Lord's grace. You'll notice that this psalm was penned by Solomon, in contrast to some of the other psalms of ascent, which were penned by David. And it's very likely that when Solomon is speaking of house here, he isn't speaking of his own home, which he sleeps and lives in, but actually the house of the Lord. Solomon was maybe at this time building the temple for God in Jerusalem. And he knew that even in his work doing good for God, even that would be in vain as long as the Lord wasn't intimately involved. This truth is echoed in Matthew 7:21, which is a harrowing passage that I often think of. Jesus says here, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, 'Lord, Lord, why, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness.'" We can do all sorts of awesome things in Jesus' name. These fellows were casting out demons, great spiritual works, and yet Jesus says he didn't know them. We can baptize our friends, we can feed the hungry, house the needy, but if these works are not done in accordance with God's will and only by his power, it's possible we're deceiving ourselves as to the true nature of our relationship with Jesus. Back in Psalm 27, after a few of the first few verses, it takes a weird turn on verse 3. In one breath, Solomon is speaking of the necessity of relying on the Lord's power in all our efforts, and in the next, he's extolling the blessing of children. The themes seem unrelated. But consider this. Do we allow the Lord to dictate how we build our own house, in this case referring to our families? Or are we following the lead of the godless world around us? Sort of an interesting statistic, if you follow the demographic statistics of the U.S., which is sort of a nerdy thing to do, but I will sometimes read about these things, you may know that last year, our country, for the fourth year in a row, hit a record low fertility rate. More than ever, couples are choosing to have children later in life, or oftentimes not at all. But this isn't just a U.S. thing. It's actually something that's seen across the world when a country becomes increasingly wealthy and less religious. This is a pattern that happens across all cultures. Instead of seeing children as a heritage and blessing from the Lord, as Psalm 127 says, we see them often as a hindrance to career progression or a hindrance to our freedom to travel or to live as we please. The Bible has a lot to say about how families should be built. But too often we prioritize our own selfish ambitions over God's will. On the flip side, those who do have children know how quickly they can become an idol in our lives, and just how opinionated parents can be about the right way to raise children. There are books and blogs based on science and evidence-based data, or maybe no data at all, about sleep schedules, baby food recipes, and the correct way to put on a diaper. And these are great and helpful. I've used them. But I wonder, even as I've been thinking about my son Boaz, how often do I look to the Bible for parenting tips? Of course, Jesus, as far as I know, doesn't have anything to say about how to put on a diaper. But what am I anxious about? Oftentimes, we're more likely to be anxious about potty training than we are to instead be concerned about the proper spiritual formation of our children. This psalm reminds us, first, that children are a blessing from God himself. And second, that if we don't labor with God in our parenting, we labor in vain. So whether it's in building our physical house or our relational house, protecting our house with insurance or savings, or spending long hours to advance our careers, if we're not careful, we're liable to labor in vain. Deciphering this code is the key to anxiousness. Solomon says, "He gives sleep to his beloved." That's what happens when we rely on God. Let's pray, and let's beg the Lord to redeem our insufficient efforts. God, I love you. And I just confess that many of my efforts, probably most, nearly all of my efforts, are not done with you. I think pretty highly of self. I think I'm pretty sufficient. I think I have a, oh, what's the phrase? High capacity that I can do all these things and be successful and productive. And yet I know and am convicted that many of those things, most of those things are not done according to your will. They're not done by your power, but they're done according to my own devices. So God, I just confess and repent. Father, would you help me? Would you help us to rely on you? Would you teach us how to rely on you? Sometimes it's a hard thing to know what that looks like. I don't think we're just supposed to sit around and do nothing until you sort of energize us. I think we're supposed to be out there working hard. And yet somehow while working hard, that's supposed to be completely empowered by you. And I don't know how to do that. So I just ask that you would help me learn how, and then that you would help me learn or actually implement that. God, I pray that our efforts would not be like the chaff that burns away, that wouldn't be like the twigs that burn away, but it'd be like gold that's refined by fire. God, we know that you enable us, as the Bible says, both to will and to act for your good purposes, that our desires are selfish. Our ways are not your ways. Our thoughts are not your thoughts. And any desire to follow you comes directly from you. And then the ability to implement it and produce it in our lives comes also from you. And so God, we praise you. We thank you for that power, for that ability. And we ask that you would just help us, help me, God, to rely on your strength completely and comprehensively. God, I pray that I would not be one of those who say, Lord, Lord, when it comes to the day of judgment, and point to all of these things that I did that I thought were impressive, that I thought were godly, fruitful, but that I would point to the work of Jesus on the cross and the fruit that you produced because I was attached to the vine. God, would you do that in me? Would you do that in us? Amen.